Hey everyone, this is your boy Daily News from the Real Dream Podcast. On behalf of Duke Mailman and I, we want to thank all of you guys for listening to us and supporting us. If you like what you hear, please follow us on our social media pages. We're at The Real Dream Podcast on Facebook. We're at TRDcast on Twitter and Instagram. And if that's not enough for you, look us up on Linktree at linktree.com/TRDcast. Thank you all for the support and enjoy the episode. Welcome to the Real Dream Podcast. I'm your host, Daily News. I'm here with my boy Duke, man. How you doing today?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm good. To everybody listening to this is going to come out Christmas week, so we wish you a Merry Christmas, man. Hope you enjoy your holidays.
Happy holidays, because yes. You know, let everybody celebrate Christmas.
It's true. True. First episode back, and man, let's just get back into it.
What, it's been over a year?
Yeah, it's been over a year since we recorded an episode and had a couple interviews and everything like that. Took a break, got our lives changes and dealing with some stuff in our own personal lives. And now we're in a good spot to just get back to it, man.
Gotta get our swagger back right quick.
Yeah, had to take a little bit of time. I don't know if I ever had swagger. I had something. I don't know if I call it swagger. Yeah, man, let's get back into it and let's get on our first topic. Our first topic is this whole Dennis Rodman thing. Now, I know you didn't know about this.
No.
You didn't?
All somewhat. Right. I knew a little bit, but not everything.
Okay, so we're going back into this whole the story about Dennis Rodman and his daughter, Trinity. She recently opened up on a podcast about a strained relationship between her and her father. Was calling him out, calling him by that he was a dad by blood only. And it was revealed that he was absent and things like that. So we're going to play you the clip.
Well, he's running around in a wedding dress. So, I mean, that might have something to do with
it. He was tripping back in the 90s.
He was out there.
Honestly, I didn't even know he had kids. I didn't know. But yeah, his daughter Trinity Rodman is actually a
good soccer player. She's really good, actually.
Yeah. She's on the USA national soccer team. She's a professional. I think she plays for Manhattan.
Oh,
the Manhattan soccer team. So,
the NWSL?
Yep. Yep. And so, I'll go ahead and play the clip, and we'll go ahead and react to what she had to say about old dad.
I think what the most frustrating part about it is I think, with how successful he was and how rich he was surrounded by a lot of toxic people. He's never understood that people could actually just want to be around him and to just want to, like, make him happy.
Yeah, like, what a horrible situation where you're like, wait, no, dad, like, we're coming to you for money because we're literally living in a fucking car,
yeah. But
we also want you. But he's so paranoid of whatever's going on in his life that he can't, like, accept what you guys are trying to give him. And so it's like this cat and mouse game where you guys feel like you're constantly being rejected.
For me, emotionally, he's put me through, like, oh my gosh. Like, even just him not talking to me for months and months. And then he randomly calls and he's like, hey, like, I'm thinking of doing a TV show, reality TV show. You want to join? I'm just like, whoa. We had an expedition and we kind of lived in that for a little bit. We tried to live with him, but he's having parties 24/7. He's bringing random in. He loves the spotlight. He loves the cameras. He loves bringing his children on stage and being like, oh, these are my kids. I'm crying. No one knows what's going on. And I'm like, dude, my dad's here. And then I walk over and again, there's cameras everywhere. He grabs my head and I just start bawling into his arms as if like it's a daddy daughter. Like I lost hope in like ever getting him back. I answer the phone now for like my conscience. To be like, he needed to hear my voice before anything happens. Like, that's why I answer the phone. Not for me. He's not a dad. Maybe by blood, but nothing else.
Mm.
How long ago was this interview?
This video interview was done a couple weeks ago. Like a week or so ago.
Except that I remember seeing something that they were doing good. Like, because I knew they had a strange relationship.
Yeah.
But I thought I heard that they came together, like, before the Olympics, actually.
Yeah.
And was really good and on good speaking terms, and he was around and stuff, so something must have changed. But Dennis Rodman, man, I mean,
yeah.
Anybody that remembers the 90s.
God, I remember. That man married himself. Like, I just remember him in the wedding dress and I remember the Jordan talking about the Last Dance.
The Last Dance. And, oh, like, he need a vacation.
Yes.
He need a break.
Oh, man. So, all right. So, let's jump into this. Like, oh, man. So, what does this reveal about, like, the impact of absentee parenting? And how does, like, men like us deal... How do we handle the pressure of parenting and not have to, like, get out? You know what I mean? Especially when the struggles, like, and struggles take us away from home. Because Dennis Rodman, I don't think he was an actual, like, absentee father where he was just like, I'm booking it. You know what I mean? He just kind of, NBA, girls, his priorities was just...
He got caught up. Sounded like he got caught up.
Yeah.
Sounded like he... I do know, I remember seeing a movie about his life, and I don't know, I don't think his first daughter, I believe it was a little girl, I hope I'm not misquoted, but yeah. He was there for her, and then that woman, at least in the movie, if I remember correctly, kind of took his kid away from him, and that's when, because Dennis was like, you know, straight cut and everything.
Right,
when
he first
got into the league, he was quiet, soft spoken.
Just got rebounds.
Exactly. And then a lot of this, I don't want to say, I don't know what the man's been diagnosed with or anything like that, but all this craziness and foolishness that we started to see, a lot of it stemmed from when he couldn't see his first daughter as much as possible. Now, obviously, he followed a pattern with that and repeated this, and I don't know how many children he has. I know this young lady's in her 20s, so I don't know if this is his second kid or what, where she's at in that hierarchy of children, but it sounds like, and again, I don't know his full background or anything like that, so I'm just going off of things that I've heard and seen. I don't know if he ever was taught how to be a dad, or taught how to be a man per se. Because he's got a lot of problems. He's got a lot of issues. He's got a lot of mental issues and stuff like that. So I don't know. I'm not trying to give him a pass or anything like that. I know me personally, I try to be there for my kids as much as I possibly can, working or not working. Obviously, I've never been in the NBA, so I don't know I don't know that life. But kids tend to just want somebody to feel like they care for them, to feel like that no matter what mom or dad, for that matter, is doing, they're going to always be there for me. I can always, I can always count on mom or count on dad, you know, and it's clear that this young lady does not feel that way.
Yeah.
And it can go one or two ways because, not to go too far off topic, but Jalen Rose's dad was in the NBA.
He didn't
know about his dad until he got older, and he used that as fuel to motivate him to get to the NBA and become a better player than his dad was.
And he said
his motivation was strictly that, so he can see what he missed out on.
Okay.
Jalen Rose's number is the opposite of his dad's number.
See, I didn't know that.
All of that. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? When he was in high school, he was just five in the pros, in high school, and I don't remember what that number was, but he purposely flipped his number on what his dad's number was.
Okay.
So his dad can be like, see, and so he can say to his dad, see, I did it without you.
Right.
I don't need you. You are a sperm donor type of thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know if this young lady used that same motivation to become, because she's one of the best soccer players in the world at this point in time. You know, so I don't know if she used that as the same motivation or not. Because I know they had a hard life, because, you know, they were hard up for money. Like, mom didn't sound, I don't think the mom asked for much from Dennis and such. They absolutely positively needed it and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but I mean, you know.
So reports say that, like, the mom's, like, she was talking in an interview about how the mom really tried really hard to create a stable environment. She was trying to create a stable environment with all the chaos. And the daughter in the interview, you can go check it out. She even talked about how, like, Dennis Rodman, when she was with him, was, like, bringing a bunch of women home and stuff like that. So, I remember being in high school, right? And I remember playing football. And I remember my parents, like, had to work. Like, my dad worked 12 hours in the morning. My grandma worked 12 hours at night. And that was a job. Or vice versa. My mom worked 12 hours during the day. My dad worked 12 hours at night. And he had to sleep during the day. And so there was a lot, like, they had to do because we had damn near 1,000 kids, siblings, right? And so, and I remember playing football my senior year. And I remember it was senior night. And I remember talking to my dad. I was like, hey, are you going to be able to come? He was like, no, I'm not going to be able to. And I was like, all right, cool. I understand. Because, you know, I understand. I'm the oldest of my siblings. I'm like, I totally understand that. And so in my mind, I'm talking with some of the other players because we had a rule. They had a rule that you can't just go out to the field by yourself. So they were going to have other parents come out for you.
Coaches or something.
Right.
Do that too, yeah.
We're walking out to the field and on senior night, and right before the seniors get out, my dad taps me on the shoulder pad and he's like, I'll meet you on the 50 yard. And I'm like, oh shit, you know what I mean? Okay, bet. Now, we had one teammate whose dad was like dealing with like some other stuff, like, you know, personal issues. And so all the brothers just got together and met him at the 50 yard, like my dad and someone else's dad and a couple others, and they met him so that way he wouldn't be alone. But I remember that meaning so much to me. Like, just not necessarily, like, I understand you got to work, you got to do things and everything like that. And I don't know what strings he pulled to even get there, but he was at least there. He was like, I'm going to be here for the first half. You give me for the first half, then I got to go to work. I was like, okay, I'm good with that. So then fast forward, I'm grown. My kid has a game an hour and 15 minutes away. And my concern is you're not going to fall and get a concussion with your clumsy ass at this game and me not be able to me find out that they're taking you to the hospital. That's not going to happen. And so I pulled some strings at work, and I'm working a lot because of holidays. And I pulled some strings, and I was able to get off work like an hour and a half earlier. So I'm like, bet I can make the game. Mm-hmm. So I leave early, I make the game, and I pull up right when the coach is giving his speech to go on the court. And you can see as I walked by him, she like saw me and like got teary eyed and tried like to play it off and smile and not try to make eye contact with me. And then she goes out and then she scores like 20 points in the game. Right. And so it was just super cool because afterwards she's like, I appreciate you coming. And you realize like they don't acknowledge the fact that you work. They don't acknowledge the fact that your back is hurt or anything like that. But in that and in this moment, like we old now. I'm not old. I like to pretend I'm
young.
I'm not old, but my knees.
You are not that old.
I'm not that old, but my knees don't work like they used to.
Not old.
Tell my knees that they mid 30s. Cause I saw a video of me running. That shit is not pretty. That is not young knee. That is not a young body. But like my daughter's like our kids are 13, 14 years old. That's not a long life. So that is a huge moment for them. Whereas us is like, I'll reminisce about that. That was pretty cool, Pop. And with them, it's like, oh.
Those are the things they remember.
Yeah, man.
They remember the people that are there for them.
Right. And it just, I think the biggest issue with this story is that she's grown. She's accomplished stuff. And there's always this narrative, this question on the line as far as who is the responsibility it is to rectify relationships once children get older. Mm-hmm. And become adults themselves. And it, whether or not it's on the parents or not. And I know some people that are like, oh, my kid, they done with me. And I mean, it is what it is. No, you got to put in work to rectify that relationship or accept the fact that they going to be on podcasts talking about you. You can't be, you know what I mean? And so it's just a lot. And so.
I mean, all you can do it's tough, you know, especially in this situation, because I don't know where his headspace is at.
Right.
I don't know if it's his guilt that's not allowing him to be the father that he wants to be. And obviously, I'm just going off of how I feel about the situation because I don't know the man. It could be anything. It could be he's embarrassed by the way he treated his mom. I'm not saying that any of these things are right, because ultimately he is the adult in the situation. They're both adults now, but he is the dad in the situation. So I do think it's always up to him to rectify whatever issues it may be. Having an adult conversation with his adult daughter, because I want to say she's mid-20s.
She's grown now.
You know, so she's capable of having an adult conversation with. And at the end of the day, your kids just want to love you. At the end of the day, your kids want to feel that you love them and they want to love you.
Right.
As much as she was talking about there and upset she was, or well, not necessarily upset, but speaking her truth, I guarantee you, if he picked up the phone and talked to her and explained things, she might not like what he's saying, but she can understand it, and then they can start moving forward and having a productive relationship going forward.
Right. Snoop Dogg was at the Olympics. Let's be real. Snoop Dogg was the biggest supporter, fan of the Olympics. He was sitting next to the Simone Biles' mom.
He was next to everybody.
He was there. He was over there, like, powerlifting, like a blank pole. Like, Snoop was just out there having the time of his life. Like, Snoop's like 50, 60 years old now.
Yeah.
But you just gotta be there.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, you can have conversation, and yeah, they may not forgive you at that time. You know what I mean? But she's a national soccer player.
Yeah.
Just be there. She's at the age where she's hopefully, maybe, eventually, going to start starting her own family. You know what I mean? And you got to, yeah, man, it just, I don't see where it's like, I understand you want to look at the world through a different lens. But it's like there is no different lens when it comes to your kid. Your kid's lens is, or your child or your daughter's lens, is hers. And so
at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, that's your legacy. So what do you want your legacy going around thinking about you?
Yeah.
You know, that's my thought process. You know, when people ask me, I'm like, at this point in my life, I'm focused on my legacy. I'm focused on, when I pass and my children are still here, what conversations are they going to be able to have about me?
Right, right.
You know, I want people to be able to come to my kids and be like, hey, I knew your dad. Your dad was a hell of a person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your dad did this for me, or not even did this for me. Your dad was there for me. Your dad, whenever I needed somebody, I knew I could count on your pops. That's what I want people to say about me. That's what I care about at this age in my life, you know, at this point in my life. As you get older, especially as a man, you start to face your mortality.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm at. Like, I'm 47 years old. I'll be 48 in March. I still have a lot of time left, I feel like. But with my youngest is 7, you know, so, you know, do the math there. You know, so I want to make sure that when I leave this earth and I take my last breath, I'm going to be somebody that he's going to be proud of. And all my children. Right, but especially him, because my other kids, I've been around long enough for them. He's still a kid. He's still a baby. You know, he's 7.
Yeah.
You know, he don't think he's a baby, but he's still a baby. You know, so that's what matters to me, that when I'm long gone, somebody could say to him, be like, hey, I knew your pops. Yo, your pops was a good dude.
Right.
You know, your pops was, you know, and not just, and I don't want it to be them just saying that I was there. I want him to be like, you know what? I know that. I know that about my pops. Mm-hmm. I know, because every time I reached out to my pops, he was there for me, you know, type of thing. That's what matters to me, period.
Yeah. So. No, absolutely. I tell my oldest all the time, I'm like, listen, man, it is, there's important things to accomplish in life, but being a good person cannot be overshadowed. Mm-hmm. And I remember, I forget what happened. We were going to Walmart. I don't know if I told you this. So we were going to Walmart, and I remember I was Don't judge, okay? So I was in like a Captain America t-shirt. Okay? Okay?
Wait. Captain America?
No. It was just like the shield, but it was the new shield. It was like the Falcon shield.
Okay.
Right. I don't know if you know, but like there's a small difference in the shields. And I made sure I was like, okay, this is the Falcon shield. I'll show it to you. And so, like the Sam Wilson shield. And so we go and we're getting off on the exit. Mm-hmm. And there's a huge accident. Someone got rear-ended into another car, and that car got pushed into the traffic. And so they're pulling out this woman out of the car. She was black, and everybody kept asking me if she was my girlfriend or my wife. I was like, no, stop. I know we in a place where there's not a lot of black people. Just because you see two don't mean we together. Like, whatever. And so immediately, I just like, I'm in the medical field. So I pull over, and I go, and I'm like, listen, I need you to stay by this car because the one car that got pushed out in the traffic, that person's still in that car. So if traffic comes, you know, another accident, I just need you to stay by this car. I need to get that woman out of the car. So I go, run out on the street. There's another guy directing traffic. And it's this older woman. And you can tell she's in shock. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, we need to get you out of this car. You're fine. But I need to get you away. Because you're still in neutral, like you're not here. Mm-hmm. And so I take her and I set her by my kid. I'm like, you just stay right here. And she's like, and my kid's like, what do I do? I'm like, I just want you to tell her about your basketball game. Just get her mind off of this. Mm-hmm. She's like, okay. And so, my kid will talk your ear off. Mm-hmm. So then I check on the other woman who's pregnant. And they're fine. Police are coming and everything like that. And I go, like, okay, cool. They're stable. This woman's stable. I didn't see the accident. They did. Police pull up. I'm like, everybody's here. We're good. I'm going to take my kid out of here. And so we go in. Then we finish going to Walmart. And she goes, I am so, like, scared. And I was, like, so worried for that lady. And I was worried for you, Daddy. And I was like, it's okay. Daddy was fine. I'm going to be all right. Mm-hmm. Daddy just had to help her. And she's like, well, you did everything. I'm like, well, you know, you talked to her and you calmed her down. So you kind of helped save that lady's life. She's like, I did. Daddy, I saved the woman's life. And so I'm like, go ahead, girl. And so we get out the car and we walk to the store. And as we're walking, these three kids, like teenagers, like 20 years old, they go, hey, you're Captain America. I'm like, no. No. At first, I took it was an insult. I was like, oh, they just think I look like this motherfucker. You know what I mean? I don't look like, wait, hold on.
You wish you looked like
him. I wish. Nah, I don't wish I look like him. I don't, maybe. I don't know.
You look like him.
Anyway, I was like, no, I don't look like him. They was like, no, we saw you in the street. Is that lady going to be okay? And I was like, yeah, she's going to be fine. Medics there, you know what I mean? They're fine. She seems stable. They're going to take her to the hospital, make sure the baby's okay. The older woman's okay too, but, you know, we'll see. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, man, I couldn't stop. I was scared. And then so we walk in and she goes, Daddy, you're a hero. And I'm like, I didn't pull anything. I didn't do anything. I just got a lady to the side of the road. But it was nice to kind of get that, you know what I mean? That feeling was like when your kid tells you, like, man, you're a hero.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And
especially for every little girl, their dad is their first hero.
Right. Yeah. And so it's just, I try to stress to her that it's important. It's important to be a good person more than anything. Like, you can be smart.
100%.
All that. And so.
It's at the end of the day, that's what you leave with. It don't matter how much money you have. It don't matter how much status you have, how much swag you have. At the end of the day, is what type of person were you? Because that's what people are going to remember. Dale Hughes had all that cash, and he did. They're not going to remember that.
Yeah.
They're going to remember, hey, do you remember Daily News? I heard a story about him helping somebody that was in a car accident. Or I heard a story about how he helped so-and-so when they were down on their luck, and he was there for that person. That's the thing that people ultimately remember. Right. They're not going to remember the time that you let them borrow X amount of money.
No.
They're going to remember that time when they were needed to be talked off of that rooftop. When they felt like life was not worth living, or something was just going on to where they just could not handle it, and you helped them get past that. Mm-hmm. That's the thing that I remember. Everybody that's ever done anything like that for me, I don't remember if people loaned me money. First off, because I've already paid it back.
Right.
I don't like owing motherfuckers like that anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know, so I don't remember stuff like that. I remember when if I was down and out, if you checked in on me, if you hadn't heard from me in a couple of days and we normally conversate like that, you were just like, hey, bro, I'm just checking up on you to make sure you good. Mm-hmm. I'm checking on your mental. I want to make sure you good. That's what I remember. Yeah. I don't remember the farewell friends that when I'm doing well, everybody want to know who I am and everybody want to be around me. I remember when I wasn't doing well at all, yeah, and I was struggling and living paycheck to paycheck. I remember the motherfuckers that was still there.
Right.
Then,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, and that's the same thing. That's how I raised my children, is remember the people that are truly down for you. When you at your lowest point, are they still around? Are they checking in on you, or did they disappear? Mm-hmm. And the next time you talk to them is when the next time you reached out to them.
Yeah.
That's what people can say anything they want to say. I don't believe words. I don't care what anybody say word-wise. I look at what your actions are. I look at what your body language tells me, because you can tell me anything you want to tell me.
Right.
But I'm studying how you saying it. Mm-hmm. I'm studying. I'm like, okay, when I was in this situation previously, was you down? Or did you disappear? And now all of a sudden we talking again because I'm back up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So we kind of got off topic with that. But,
yeah,
no, you know, that's just, you know, something that I teach my children. Like, pay attention. Pay attention to everybody around you. Whether you know whether you think they cool or not. Mm-hmm. Pay attention. When things get hairy, when you in a situation, who's down for you? And who all of a sudden, oh, I ain't got it. Or yeah, I got other things. I'm not around. All of a sudden, oh, I didn't know you called me. Or oh, my bad. I'm just seeing that you texted me. And it's 3 days later.
Yep.
You know, just pay attention to those things. Because mm-hmm. people can say what they want to say, but their actions will always tell you what they actually mean.
My middle child is, we've moved. And so she's trying to make friends. And mm-hmm. she's like, I'm going to go to their wrestling meet or whatever. I'm like, oh, cool, that's awesome. She's like, yeah, I'm gonna do this, and I'm gonna support my friends. And you know, everyone's her friend at this point. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm like, well, are they your friends? And she's like, I don't know what you mean. I'm like, well, are they coming to your basketball games? Exactly. Are they coming to your things? She's like, mm-hmm. your track meets? She's like, well, no. And I'm like, don't cross an ocean for people that won't jump over a puddle for you. Mm-hmm. Like, it's little things like that, and that you just, I mean, she's young, so she has to learn.
Yeah.
And these are the growing years, and figure out who you are and how you want to make your friends and how you want to interact. And my oldest one, she's taking it to heart, and she's like, no, I know exactly. Mm-hmm. I have friends that I talk to every day. Yeah. I have friends that I need to go to for advice. I have friends to tell me when I'm fucking up and I need to get in.
You just have to figure out which is which. Yeah. You got friends, you have acquaintances. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying acquaintances are bad.
Yeah.
Just know where they at. Just know what lane they in and keep them there.
Yep.
Unless they want a promotion and they show you that they are worthy of that promotion.
Yeah.
But keep them at, and there's nothing wrong with that, you know. Mm-hmm. There's different sets. You're gonna find different people within your life.
There's levels to this.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, man. Well, that was a great first mm-hmm. fucking
right.
segment.
Yeah, a little rusty, but yeah.
We're getting to it. We're getting to it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
we're gonna take a quick break, and we'll be right back. To a second topic of the day, we just want to piggyback off of our first segment here and go into, you know, just the reality of where we're at in our lives. You know what I mean? Our daughters, our kids, our sons, our children are watching us and learning from us and relying on us to guide them through this world. And in light of the whole Dennis Rodman and Trinity Rodman situation, let's just have a conversation about confidence and the values that we instill in our kids and things like that. And just how do we navigate specifically being present despite the life obstacles? Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, we got work, we got, you know, births, deaths, obstacles, you know, financial situations.
I ain't having no more births.
No, so. Well, not ours. No. I got nieces and nephews.
I ain't having no more. So you can cut that part out of it.
Man, I'm done too. So, but yeah, I think once your daughter hits puberty, you're done. Like, once your oldest daughter, not maybe not the sons, but the girls, man, once they hit puberty, I'm done. And so, let's go ahead and just expand on it, though, man. How would you navigate those obstacles as far as being present versus, you know what I mean?
It's just being present. It starts with being present. If you're present, then everything else, I don't want to say everything falls into place and make it seem like it's simple and easy, because it's not.
No.
Parenting is not easy. Every child is different. When you have multiple kids, you learn that. You're like, oh, okay, this might work for the first kid. This ain't going to work for this one. This one's a little crazy. So I need to change my setup. Yeah. I need to change how I come at you. Because I'll tell you right now, I have a child where I got to come at like we about to go to war and be like, look, you don't change the shit right now. We're going to have a problem.
Yeah.
You know, and open my inner Kevin Hart. I'm about to put the paws on him.
I'm going to tell you something, Calvin. You got one more time to do some crazy, boy, for you get the paws.
But then I have another child where, you know, it's more of a, okay, you know, you done fucked up, right? Mm-hmm. You learn from that? What did you learn? What happened? This daddy and this, okay, we're going to do that again?
Yeah.
Nope, you ain't got to work. And I know when I have that conversation with her, that's it.
Yeah,
she's going to move forward. She learned sometimes. Because I'm not tight. You can't tell me things. I have to learn it on my own.
Right.
And if that means that I fall, that means I motherfucking fall.
Right, right.
But then I learn how to pick myself up. I have a child right now that's kind of learning that a little bit. They had to fall a little bit.
Yep.
And now they're working on picking themselves back up. I'm still right there. I'm monitoring. Yeah. He even told me the other day, he's like, I know you're worried, Dad, but I got this. But I also know that if I absolutely need you, you right there.
Yeah.
Like 100%. I'm going to let you. Now, that don't mean I'm not going to let you fall a little bit, because I do think you need to learn those lessons sometimes, because it's either a lesson or a blessing. And sometimes a lesson can turn into a blessing based off of the situation. Mm-hmm. But I know at the end of the day, he's going to be fine.
Right.
You know. But it meant a lot to me to know that he knows that. That's like my youngest, for instance. Mm-hmm. Last year, his teacher had reached out to me because he was being named like student of the month or something.
Okay.
But I couldn't make it because she told me too late. And I remember saying to her, hey, just let him know that his dad loves him. I'm sorry that I couldn't make it. And let him know that his dad loves him. And she texted me back and she was like, when I told him that, he said, I know. But that was like the best thing ever, because he already knew, you know. So I that was my worry, because I don't want any of my children to think that I don't love them. Because as a parent, if you can't make things, sometimes you feel that way. You're like, damn, I hope they don't right, you know, think right. that they don't matter enough. But sometimes adult life doesn't allow you to do everything that you want to do.
Yeah.
You know, and so that made me feel so good. But his immediate response was, I already know. I know my dad loves me. Yeah. I was like, okay. Yeah. And is proud of me.
Right, right.
You know, so that meant the world, because that meant that I'm doing something right.
Yeah.
Because he understands that and he knows that. So if there are things that I can't make it to, he knows it's not for lack of trying. He knows it's because I don't love him and stuff like that. Because I don't want any of my children walking around thinking that their dad does not love them.
So. Right, right. So, like, I had a conversation with my dad just the other day. I was like, hey, because we were talking about my oldest playing basketball. My dad's a big basketball guy and everything. He's kind of talking to me. I'm like, how did you do this when we were kids? And he's like, you just got to love coaching and being that person. I'm like, no, having kids. There's six of us. How did you do this? Yeah. He's like, I don't know. I gave up on the last two. So I left
out. Selfless, man. Yeah. Being a parent is selfless. You just...
It's so funny because, like, so we have a blended family. Mm-hmm. And me and my girlfriend. And so my oldest, being biracial and being in the area that we live in, mm-hmm. has had multiple... She's had multiple documented issues with race in her schools. Mm-hmm. And I understand it. I understand what it's like being black and being in America. And so I have dealt with those things on a very aggressive level as far as being an involved parent anytime. And or anything that happens, right? Mm-hmm. Now, our middle one is different. Her dad's not around. And unlike our oldest and the youngest... the oldest will protect if she needs to, but she's very much so, like 0 to 100 and just like emotional, like outbursts, right? Like, it's like I can't believe I did this. I'm so like, I can't, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The youngest one is kind of the same way. He's very sensitive and he's very passionate about like people and not wanting to hurt other people. The middle child don't give a damn. She will hit you and make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich that same five minutes later. It's like she don't care about nothing. And so she goes and she comes home and she's telling us about this person that was picking on her and everything like that. And she goes, and so she was picking on me and everything like that. And I told her, you're in my bubble and I will push you out and I will shove you or anything like that. And she was like, no, you won't. She was like, yes, I will. And if you touch me, like, yada, yada, yada. And so I'm like, so we have this conversation like that.
First off, I don't mean to interrupt you, but first off, let me find out who that kid is.
Right. Okay. Right.
I will punch that kid.
Right.
I will throw punch that kid and walk away.
Okay, right? And
I'm done right now.
And so I'm just like, I understand defending yourself. You got to do what you got to do. But you a little bit aggressive with it, right? So let's remind us that we act in self-defense.
Nope.
Right? You're like, no, right?
Well, when it comes to mind, we're going to act irrational. So I'll tell you right now, you mess with it. Look, where the camera at? I'm going to look right here, right? Which is right now. Any of you little... crumb snatchers mess with any of my children or any of my nieces or nephews, you're gonna have to come see me. I'm gonna throat punch you and then have your parents come and I'm gonna throat punch them too. That's my PSA for the day.
I can't breathe.
Continue. So not play with me.
I'm trying to get my thoughts together. But so she goes, I'm like, listen, you can defend yourself. It doesn't have to be physical or like even in your mental, but you defend yourself. I don't care how you do it. And then once you do it, if you have to put hands on someone, whatever the case may be, and you felt like that was needed, we'll have a conversation.
Yeah.
And it was then that she realized, one, that I've never told my daughter that if she ever got into a fight, she'd get punished. I've always said,
as long as you don't start it.
Right. It's a conversation. Mm-hmm. Because I know my kids would never start a fight.
Exactly.
Except for her. She might be the one. So
I can see that.
Yep. And so she goes, and right before she leaves the room, and I stop, I'm like, hey, listen. I want you to understand something. And she was like, yeah. And I was like, I understand you never had this in your life. If anything happens when school and someone is picking on you, you understand that to go to the teacher, mm-hmm. right? And let them know. Mm-hmm. And then you let us know. Mm-hmm. And she's like, yeah. And she's like, and if it doesn't get resolved, you still let me know.
Absolutely.
I will go into the school and mm-hmm. then we have to have a conversation about why it wasn't resolved and my daughter mm-hmm. had to put it in her own hands. And she paused and she was like, you would go into the school? That's all. I'm like, yo, I've met our oldest's principal mm-hmm. in every single school she's been in because of issues that have transpired. Mm-hmm. I have no problem going into your school and saying we need to have a conversation mm-hmm. about why my kid had an issue, went to you about it, and it was not rectified. Mm-hmm. And so, like, you could see it. She was like, are you serious? I was like, yeah, no, it is my job to protect you, right? And if you have to protect yourself at this age, that means I'm not doing my job.
Yeah.
And so now I have to go and say, yo, I give you the school is responsible at this moment in time to care and protect my kid when I'm not there. Why aren't you doing your job? Why did she come to you? Because now I have to protect her and hold you accountable. And it was nice to see that at that moment in time, she had just like, oh, I did not realize that. Yeah, no, absolutely. And you could see her kind of like have a little pep in her stuff. I was like, okay, yeah, I got backup. I'm like, hold on now. Hold on now. Let's pump the brakes in. And so, but it was good, man. It was good to see a smile on her face and be able to realize that she had that. She didn't have to deal with that alone. You know what I mean? And like we were talking about, man, it's just about engaging and being there and having conversations with your kids and stuff like that and talking to them. There's like my oldest, she'll be like, you remember so-and-so? Nope, I do not remember so-and-so. But she's told me so many names that I'm like, okay, finish the story and I'm going to pinpoint it. And crying about the other ones because they're young. So they're not going to always be like, especially with me, they're not going to always be like, hey, you remember so-and-so? Because I'm new still. And they're going to tell mom about it. But I'm going to be like, hey, how was Ryan? How was Jake? How was Brittany? How was so-and-so in your class?
You gotta have some Deshaun's and Daquan's up in there. Brittany and Jake. Fuck is that?
Okay, I'm using generic names because
they ain't no goddamn generic names.
Yes, they are, because if I mention any... No,
those are white names.
I know, but where we live at, if I mention a black name, white. That's going to be specific to that person. Like I know my youngest.
It's some goddamn Jaquans or something around here. It's got to be. Yeah.
Yes. There's no Jaquan. Actually, see? That's exactly. No Jaquan.
That's my point.
I hate the fact that you like pull some random point. Name out of your head. It was like,
that's yep, my point. That's times it. Are a change. Yep.
Our oldest, she's cracks me up because she's like, yeah, you know, me and your oldest daughter and a couple others. She's like, yeah, you know, I got a special relationship with her. I got a special relationship with her because we're colored girls and we understand things.
Did you just call your children colored?
No, that's what she says. She's like, we're the colored people in the school.
Mercy.
Because there's another girl in the group that's Mexican. Rodriguez.
That's the coach of the coach.
Or Martinez. I don't know
you
her name.
You have to have a conversation right. about that.
I know. Her vernacular needs to be adjusted.
Oh, Lord.
But she's like, you know, it's cool to have those conversations. And then she'd be like, but this one girl act like we don't have the same hair. like we don't like girl. Like, it was so funny because she was like, the way she... To our white listeners, you may not understand this. In the black community, when you walk and you're doing something, whatever it is about your day, and you see another black person, we typically nod to each other, even if we don't know you. And we have a compliment. That's it. It's just like, hey, I see you. You know, you look good. Continue. You know, just look.
Yep.
I see you. You know what I mean? Nothing big. Just a nod. You ain't got to say nothing. If you're old here, you stay up, brother. You know what I mean? But keep, you know what I mean? But if you don't nod back, that's fighting words.
It's a problem.
Yeah. In my mind. Like, I almost got into it with somebody at work because he listened to me. I nodded to him and he glared at me. Just looked at me with a blank stare. And I almost was like, whoa, I almost said out loud. I was like, well, fuck you too. But then, like, you know, I had just started at the job. And so
don't know the rules.
Nah, he's special needs. And so I didn't know that. No, I didn't know.
Nope.
I didn't know that.
Nope.
I didn't know that.
You do not cancel me. We just came back on the air.
I didn't know that.
Nope.
And so after that.
Nope. I am not listening to the rest of your story.
We were cool. Cool. But, like, no, if, like...
Wait, you cool with the special needs kid now?
Yes, I'm cool with the special needs kid.
We better stop talking about
him. He be nodding. He's super nice.
Do you know why he nodded? Do you even know
why? Yeah, we had a conversation. Oh, okay. We talk. He's always like,
hey, tell me you got a special needs kid at your place.
I got a couple of them. I got one that talked to himself in the elevators.
Oh. Well, I have to explore this later.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'll say hi.
We on camera, and I don't want to say nothing. That's gonna, you know what? I love everybody. Special needs or not, I love you all.
There you go. Yep. And so, but yeah, so.
Wait, how do you.
We're going to talk about off camera. Yeah.
Yep. Nope. Because I got a lot of questions.
Yes. That's all I'm going to say. Yeah.
I got a lot of questions.
So, we had these conversations, and she was like, yo. Dad, I did not like that. I did not like that. Like, girl, your hair is just as nappy as mine. Don't be like, if I say hi to you, like, because she don't know the nod. She don't understand the nod so much. It's high school. So she be like, if I say hi to you.
Right.
But if you, like, but, like, she was like, but then, like, later on, she was like, well, I guess she, like, out of nowhere, just came up to me and was like, oh, my gosh, I love your hair. And it was because we had the same hairstyle, Dad. And so... It was just like out of nowhere. And I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. She was like, yeah, but I wasn't talking to her like that. I was just like, oh, my stepmom did it. Why? And so, you know, so, because now she's upset. Now she got the attitude like, nah, you didn't nod to me. You didn't recognize me on day three. Don't try to act like we cool now because you want, you know, so. It's just, yeah, it's interesting just kind of dealing with those aspects about just, especially the middle one, just being able to understand, like, you got, I got your back.
Yeah.
And that, in my mind, is just the idea of being present. And, like, there's lots of obstacles we're going to face. And there's some, you know what I mean, that's going to make me just, like, be like, hey, listen, I'm taking the brunt of this to protect you. And there's some that's like, I got to let you take the brunt of this so that way you understand the world.
Yeah.
And, I don't like those ones, but yeah, man, it's just, it's a roller coaster, but it's one I'm excited and glad to be on. You know what I mean? I see it as a privilege, right?
Yeah, it's tough, like, cause especially being where we're at, there's times where I'm like, man, am I, yes, I'm present for my child, but again, my obviously our kids are mixed. And it's like, it's a fine line. It's a, because where we live in is a predominantly white area.
Yeah.
So obviously they're getting that side of it. And especially in my kids, they, us two and our extended families are the only minorities that they know.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so that puts a, not a pressure, but that, like, sometimes I go, I'm like, okay, how, I give it to her in portions of the plight of the world. And my child, I don't want to say she can mix in, but she's a little lighter.
Yeah.
So if you don't necessarily know, you might not know if she's mixed until you see her dad, obviously.
Right.
And then there ain't no hiding it. You know? So I think in some ways she hasn't quite had the same plight as your child. Cause you could tell that your child is mixed. My child is a little bit lighter. So unless you, no, sometimes I think she, I don't want to say get, because she's not trying to get away with anything. But she's a little bit on the lighter scale, I should say.
Yeah.
So she hasn't quite had the same issues as your kid, but at the same token, I try to have those conversations with her about, like, if we just had a conversation earlier today.
Yeah,
about, you know, Angela Davis and look that up and see, because, you know, you get enough of what I'm like her, for lack of a better term, I'm her Black history.
So
it, like, falls on me to be like, read up on Angela Davis, read up on, you know, civil rights leaders and stuff like that. Because in the school system, yeah, they learned a little bit about it, but not as much as I would like, you know, so I have to be that extra conversation with her. I have to be that extra conversation with my sons. You know, stuff like that, to certain things that you need to be aware of. Cause at the end of the day, the world sees you as Black.
Right.
I know you see yourself as a person. but the world sees you as black, and that's a whole nother set of things. I know there's some people that might be like, oh, no. Unless you are black and have lived in my shoes or a black person's shoes, you never can 100%. You can sympathize with it. You can empathize with it.
Yeah.
But you can never truly 100% understand it.
Yeah.
And I'm not the type of person that walks around like, oh, the world is looking down on me, so on and so forth. I still try to rise above all that and go forward and push through. And that's the same thing that I try to teach my children. The same, don't use that as a crutch. Don't use that as an excuse. If you feel like you need to be 2-3 times better, be 2-3 times better. Make it to where no matter what it is that you're shooting for, that there's no reason that you can't get what it is that you're trying to achieve. Does that mean you might have to work a little bit harder? Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you do. Maybe you don't.
Yeah.
But regardless, I want my children to be overachievers anyway.
Right.
So I don't teach them to be like, you have to work harder because of your skin color. I teach them you have to work harder just because you want to be better. Yeah. Because you want to leave no doubt when it is that you're trying to go do something, when you're trying to do something. So it's tough. Like I said, I have those, even with my 7-year-old, I have those conversations. Obviously, we start a little bit light because he's only 7, so there's only but so much he can grasp. But I've already started to have those conversations with him and stuff like that. With my 14-year-old, same thing. Now she's in, they go to the same school. Our kids go to the same school. They've grown up together. And that's what's made it easier, honestly, is the fact that they've grown up together. They're only a couple of months apart and, sisters. They don't even, they're not, friends or cousins. They're sisters as far as they're concerned. It's funny because, they have their other friends and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's them two together, it's like, boom.
Totally different.
Yep.
It's
like
their friends.
The other friends are just like, oh, yep. Okay, I guess we're just kind of here.
Yeah, I thought we was cool. I thought we was cool. We was talking and texting. And this person comes, I don't even know who this is. I've met her like twice, and then you just act like we don't exist. Yeah.
Yep. Best friends. They're so funny.
It's
different, but the same.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So funny.
And when she was younger, I remember talking to her mother, and we were talking about, like, she was like, well, we're raised as a person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you raise her as black? Do you raise her as mixed? I'm like, no, she is who she is.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, oh, and she asked me, she's like, Daddy, you're brown and mommy's light and pink and what am I? I'm like, your name. And that's who you are. And you understand that first.
Yep.
Before you understand anything, you are who the person you are in this area, in this world, in this lifetime. In America, they will define you as black.
Yeah.
Like, that's the reality of it. No one's going to look at you and be like, oh, you white. Yo, you native. No, you are a black woman in America's eyes. In a black community, maybe. But right now in America, they're going to look at you as black. Yeah. And in that light, you have to be proud.
Yeah.
And so that was, like, the biggest, like, caveat of, like, just doing a little bit of history lessons and not necessarily, like, oh, you got to study.
Yeah, no, I'm not like, you got to be black and be black.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that.
I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all. I'm blickety black, blacker than black. I'm blacker than black, yo, because I'm black and I'm black.
Because... And all you're mixed, you're half, half.
There's cultures on you on both sides.
I want you to know both sides. I want you to be your own person.
Yeah.
Listen to your own music. Do whatever it is that you want to do. So
my kid being who she is went through a Taylor Swift phase and a Megan Thee Stallion phase, and now she's listening to her and LMA.
Rihanna.
I remember I was like, I told you about it. I remember we were driving and she was just, I don't know what came on, and I was like playing the radio and I was listening to the radio, and she said, I heard mother sending me hoe. So I said, okay, so make another hoe. And I'm like, where did you learn that? And she's like, Dad, I love that part. Like, make another hove. Like, Dad, they can't make another hove. I'm like, do you know who hove is? She's like, No. But they can't make, like, dad, they can't make another me, so they can't make another mm-hmm. hoe. And just stuff like that. And mm-hmm. so she definitely was just
it's like so crazy to see them grow up be now they're young ladies. Gosh. It's like Jesus.
Yeah, I know. I told who was it? Someone had my aunt. We went to a wedding, my aunt had ran into me. She's like, oh my gosh, she was just a baby. What happened? And I'm like, mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know how this work. Stop fucking growing up. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the best way I can explain it. I'm tired of this. I just wish you were 3 months old and you looked mm-hmm. at me, pooped, and smiled. That was it. Yep. So, gosh. So, yeah. And now they're going to homecoming dances. Dealing with boys. Ugh.
Nope. Ugh. We ain't saying the B word.
The B word? No B word?
Nope.
I already had to threaten a kid. Okay, I ain't threatened the kid. I scared the shit out of him. I scared the shit out of him. Nah, no, I told you about this, right? I just went to the gym. I had to work that day. I'm in like a muscle t-shirt. I ain't got a lot of muscles. Chill out, internet. I ain't got a lot of them. I got a little bit. Walked in there and it was school. It was like the thing that they do before school where you got meet all your classes or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And I think I told you this story where we go into this one classroom and there's one boy and he in the corner and he is pacing. He got the Justin Bieber haircut. He just scrawny or whatever. And he just pacing back and forth in the corner. Ain't nobody acknowledging this motherfucker. So in my mind, he ain't right. Something's going on with this kid that mentally he not doing good. I've never met him, so I don't know whose kid this is, but that's what I'm pissed off about. Where his parents at? There's no parents in the anyway. Wow. So we go into class and
they're a little different.
Right. So yeah,
we're raised a little different,
And so we go into the class and he starts walking to me. So now I'm like, I got to punch a little kid in his face. I don't know what's fucking wrong with him, but I got to punch him in his face. And all seriously, my kid, my oldest, was standing next to me. As he walked to me, she walked to the back of the group. I'm like, okay, what's going on here? And he goes, are you his father? I'm like, I am. And he goes, hello, sir. My name is so-and-so. And I go, well, it's nice to meet you. And he goes, okay, and runs out the damn room. He's gone. He ain't saying nothing to nobody. He just ran. I don't know what the fuck the shiver was. But I was like, okay. He came up to me. He shook my hand. He said, sir, my name is so-and-so. And he introduced himself to me. I was like, okay. And my daughter goes, he's just a friend, Dad. He's just a friend. I'm like, okay. She's like, what do you think of him? I'm like, I don't like him.
Exactly.
I ain't gonna like him. Until someone is old enough, mature enough, and responsible enough to provide more than I can, I ain't gonna like him. And even then, I ain't gonna like him.
And Uncle ain't never gonna like him.
Nope.
Just gonna throw it out there right there.
No, hell no. Remember one dude came to the party? The boy? She invited one boy to the party.
That's right.
Right? And me, you, two other uncles, were all on him. This boy was so scared, y'all. This boy was so scared. It took him 3 hours at the party to ask for a hot dog. 3 hours. The motherfucker was just sitting there and was like, I haven't eaten yet. I'm like, what the fuck? We didn't serve cake and everything. Go ahead and get something to eat.
Hey,
listen. I was there. I had a sleeveless shirt on. The other uncle was there with that huge beard and shaved head. You was there. The other uncle had God first on his tatted on his knuckles. It was not a good crew at all. She don't even talk to him no more.
Of course, he's
scared the life out of him. He don't come by no more.
Oh, wow.
So.
My problem.
Right? And so, all right, we're going to take a short break and we'll be right back.
I'm an asshole. World's biggest asshole.
Okay, I gotta get that. I gotta get the song through. Yep. So, alright, so we're back to our third segment of the day, man. And typically, we do Ratchet News. We're gonna switch it up a little bit today. And we're gonna read some Reddits, the AITAH Reddits. And so, here we go, and get Duke's response on this, okay? Here we go. Am I the asshole for telling my sister that it's her uterus keeping her from her dreams and not me? I, 26 female, have known for years that I don't want children ever. It's not up for debate. I've been very clear about this with my family. My older sister, we gonna call her Samantha. She's 32 female, is the opposite. She dreamed of being a mother her entire life, but she's been struggling with infertility for years. It's been heartbreaking to see her go through this, and I've always tried to be supportive in other ways. Recently, Samantha and her husband started exploring surrogacy. They've saved up a lot of money, but the cost is still high, so Samantha asked me if I'd consider being her surrogate. Was blindsided. I told her that I love her and support her, but I'm not comfortable with pregnancy, whether for myself or for someone else. I reminded her that I've been very clear about my decision not to have children, and that includes not being pregnant at all. She didn't take it well. She accused me of being selfish and said I was prioritizing my own convenience over her chance to be a mother. It got worse over the next few weeks, with her dropping passive-aggressive comments and even implying that I was wasting my uterus since I don't want kids. The breaking point came at a family dinner. Samantha brought up my refusal in front of everyone and said, "It's so sad when your own sister stands in the way of your dreams." I was so frustrated that I snapped and said, "It's not me keeping you from your dreams. It's your uterus. And I'm not sacrificing my body to fix that for you."
Okay.
Damn. The room went dead silent. Samantha burst into tears and laughed, and now my family is divided. Some think I was too harsh and should apologize, while others think Samantha crossed the line by trying to guilt trip me. I feel terrible for hurting her, but at the same time, I don't think it's fair to expect me to go against my values and life choices to fix her situation. So Reddit, am I the asshole?
I don't think so.
You don't think she's an asshole?
I don't think she's an asshole.
Okay.
I don't think she's an asshole at all. I mean, she stated that she said plenty of times that children are not in her plans.
Yeah.
I understand that's her sister. I don't think she's an asshole at all. I'm sorry. It's not her responsibility. There's other avenues that her sister can go through. They can adopt. They can find another surrogate. Mm-hmm. I do understand the thought process of having the sister as a surrogate. However, her body, her choice.
Right.
I'm a man. I'm not even going to get into that conversation of trying to tell a woman what they can and can't do with their body.
Yeah.
So that is completely up to her. So there is no way she can be an asshole. I'm sorry.
I feel like she was very clear on what it is that her goals were. And it seems like she's like committed to this for a long time. Mm-hmm. Sister feels differently. That's your prerogative.
Yep.
You have the ability to save up money still. Keep saving up. Even if it's not now, it can still happen.
Well, sister's only 32. She's still right. Young. She's
yeah.
A young lady.
So you got time. You know what
young
I mean?
Young woman, I should say.
Right. And you got time and, you know, and I'm sure resources, and you can talk to other family members to help pull resources. Mm-hmm. But I think she is the asshole. The only difference between me and you is I think being an asshole is warranted. You called her out at dinner. He called her out at dinner in front of family. Well,
she shouldn't have kept bringing that shit up.
Right, right. And so that's why I'm like, that's why nah,
she's an asshole.
You the asshole. Good for you. Good job. Good job. Shit.
She's an asshole, but she's a good asshole.
He's a great asshole. That's right.
She's only the ass, not the hoe.
Right, right, okay. Right, right, okay. Right.
So she half.
Yep. You see half. Okay. You an ass. But you gotta be that sometime.
I get it.
I feel like that was just like a, I ain't gonna respect your boundaries. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I don't respect, like, there's lots of things getting in the way of your decision to have children, mm-hmm. and infidelity and all those things. And I'm not saying it's like a clear black and white thing. That's your body and your husband's body that you gotta deal with on your own, mm-hmm. and figure that out and go through other avenues. And mm-hmm. if it's not in your call, in your cards, then you gotta figure out other ways, or it may not be in your cards. That's understandable. Mm-hmm. At the same token, that's not her prerogative. Mm-mm. She has a life. She wants to use her life however she deems fit.
Yep.
And it is not your job to make her feel guilty about it. Just like anybody else's job. Absolutely. To make you feel guilty about wanting kids.
Absolutely. And so, as somebody who I may or may not have been called an asshole a couple of times in my life. Maybe.
Maybe three times today.
Maybe. We'll say maybe on that. I don't think that's an asshole move. Her body, her choice. Like,
right.
I get it that there's sisters and everything, but again, there's other avenues that the woman can go about. And she's only 32, so there's a possibility that she still can get pregnant herself as well. And who's to say, let's say the 26-year-old does go with it. It's not 100% that she would want to give up the child after nursed it and done everything, you know, she's felt the baby kick and she felt that baby grow inside of her own body.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole nother conversation. Now you have a problem. What if she doesn't want to give that up?
Typically, surrogates are like people that either have had kids, mm-hmm. or, you know what I mean, like fine and like, oh, pregnancy is easy for me.
Yeah.
But like, you're talking about giving up your first pregnancy, mm-hmm. to you. That's a lot to ask of anybody. You know what I mean? And she said very clearly, she doesn't want to have a kid. Mm. That means if she has a kid, there's not going to be like, I didn't want this. You know, there might be different emotions that come up. And so you pushing too hard. And I think sister, big sis crossed the line. I think she crossed the line with that one. Yeah.
So, I have to agree on that one.
Yeah. Because, like, in front of the family, see, my family would have said something for me.
Oh yeah, it would have been a dead silence.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go out on a limb. Just I don't know. I just got this I don't know. I'm gonna say there's a possibility that the people that we are talking about lack melanin. That's all I'm gonna say. That they lack some melanin. I'm just going out on a limb.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Going out, and the part that gave it up is the room went dead silent.
Yeah.
People that have melanin, that ain't gonna happen.
Mm-mm.
There's no. It may be like a split second, and then somebody like, oh hell no.
Yeah.
And then that's gonna kick it off
right.
It's gonna be a whole nother conversation going on. So I'm just. I mean, maybe I could be wrong. I could be wrong.
Listen.
Something in the soles of my back tells me that there was no melanin in this conversation.
I read it. And at that point, when she said, I'm not sacrificing my body to fix you.
I even stopped.
I stopped reading. I was like, damn.
That don't even sound like anything anybody with melanin would say. Like, that's not even the way that we would say it. Like, it would have been a hell no. There would have been no debate. Yeah. There would have been nothing.
I feel like if I said something like that to, like, my sister or something like that, like, I'm just going off of what my youngest sister would say, who's a very sweet woman. And it's like, oh, yeah, you know, it's just sad that you just are just wasting your body and I can't. Have a kid. The fuck is wrong with you? I just feel like that's what would be the first words to come out of her mouth. Cause now it's not subliminal. It's not like I'm gonna try to slide this in. No, she coming straight at me. And I'm like, alright, I get it. And so
I'm gonna go ahead out on one of them. I know Black Samanthas.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go out on a limb. I don't think that that's a Black Samantha. No. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
I could 100% be wrong. However, if I was a betting man, and I'm not, because I'm in a state where we can't bet.
Yeah. But
if I was a betting man, I'm willing to bet you that there was no melanin in that whole conversation.
No. It was definitely a milk colored person.
That's just my.
Samantha, good luck to you. Big sister. I hope you figure it out. I hope you do end up figuring out how to have a child, and you and your husband live happily ever after, and are successful with that. I would leave your sister alone, because this was probably the nicest comment she could have came up with. Mm-hmm. Let her go. Let her live her life. You not the asshole. I'm just saying. I think you should have been more of an asshole, but I think you handled it very well, and I think you good. So I wouldn't even worry about it. Everybody's going to have their opinion on it, but at the same token, if she would have came to you in private and not in front of everybody else, it wouldn't have been their opinion. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't have one. So, it's cool. It's good. Good. So, yeah. Man. Damn. Whole fucking family, too. All right, man. Anything you need to say?
Nah, man. Go ahead and wrap us up.
All right. Well, that was our episode, man. We thank you for joining us. As always...
I do got something.
Yeah.
Drink water and don't be an asshole.
Drink water. That's a new one.
That's right.
Gotta be hydrated.
Gotta stay hydrated.
Thank you for joining us. You know what I mean? Till next time, keep dreaming.
Yes, sir.